What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Live Podcast. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, alongside the Fantasy Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano, the next-gen stats guru, Graham Barfield. And fellas, training camps are open. NFL summer is over.
I know, dude. I know. It comes quickly. Like, everyone's, like, still in summer mode. You've got another month before, like, school gets back going. Not for us.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy. I think we talked about it a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. This year, for me, is kind of snuck up, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, dude.
More so than others.
Every year, it goes by quicker and quicker.
Yeah. We say it all the time. People ask us what we do in the off season. I just laugh. What do you mean? What do you mean off season? Like, that's such
always
a funny word.
To do.
Such a funny term, off season. Anyway, we got plenty to talk about because training camps are open, and that means a lot of you are starting to do drafts, provided you haven't done drafts and mock drafts and, you know, slow drafts already. But we'll talk a little draft strategy. Fabs has written a little something. Graham has written a little something. Also, a question from the audience, if you will, as we talk about that. Plus, Jacoby Brissett, who might be the new millennium Jack Handy, for those of you old enough to remember who the original Jack Handy was. We'll talk about that. Normally, we would go behind the glass to talk to our faithful producer, Senior Edward L. Murphy, Esquire, but I don't know if you can tell,
he's right there!
We are continuing our magical mystery tour of recording about the lot here. The studio is still under construction. Last week, we were in a conference room. This week, we are on stage 5, which if any of you watch the Around the NFL Twitter show, you would know that you'd be familiar with this room. It kind of looks like a man cave of sorts with memorabilia behind us. There's
no,
fake grass.
No, I haven't played with any of those toys back there. No.
There's fake grass on the walls.
There's a lot of shoes over there.
We're sitting on these pillows that are like made out of AstroTurf or something
they
like that.
They get scratchy after
they're kind of itchy, yeah,
I'm not gonna a little lie. Bit. They get a little scratchy.
Yeah, they're a little bit itchy. So
I want to hit a golf ball off this thing.
So if you think we sound a little bit different, it's because we are not in our normal home. So hopefully next week we'll be able to get back to
see,
it.
See, now I am itchy, Graham, because you mentioned
it. We put it in your head.
Fabs, do you have your clubs in the back of your car? Because right now we could just...
Let's go tee it up, man. I did that last week, man. Dude, I had so much fun. I played a round of golf with Cedric the Entertainer, Patrick Warburton, who is better known as Putty from Seinfeld, Jason Scheff, who is the lead singer of Chicago. But like now, my golf game is going right down the toilet because I won't pick up another club until like
Cedric the Entertainer had a
January
had a character on one of Tiger Woods' old like EA
That's
Sports
right.
Things.
I remember that.
Yeah,
I used to use that
I
character.
I used to use him too because
he had
great.
A crazy swing. He
had a crazy swing and like he had the best outfits of in the whole game.
Did. So.
Anyway, normally we talk to Murph. He is off to the side. He's waving at you. Just know that he's here and he's taking care of everything. So in the meantime, let's do some news.
Through the news.
Well, the big story of the week news-wise comes out of Kansas City. After months of speculating what might happen to Tyreek Hill, word is he will not miss any games. The NFL has decided not to suspend Tyreek Hill after accusations of child abuse, after the tape in which he allegedly threatened violence against his fiance. The league has decided that there is not enough there to suspend Tyreek Hill. I mean, we could, I'm sure, get into a long discussion about, you know, what this means and you know, how this thing came about. But
Margaret, seriously, if you're Jerry Jones, how pissed are you right now?
I know he wasn't happy originally when Ezekiel Elliott was suspended. I'm sure he is super not happy now. I'm sure he has lobbed a phone call or two to 345 Park Avenue to register his disgust and his displeasure with this.
Yeah.
But just brass tacks, because obviously this is a fantasy football podcast. Fabs, this means that after kind of sliding in rankings, Tyreek Hill rockets right back up to the top.
Dude, yeah, I mean, like, now he's a second-round pick. So imagine, and a lot of people out there do best ball leagues, like, all offseason. Imagine you're doing best ball and you get Tyreek Hill in, like, between round 6 and 8. Like, you're basically winning the league. I mean, at least you're going to be super competitive. We did mock drafts where he didn't go off the board until 6th round, 7th round. I saw him go as late as the 9th round when the news initially broke. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we all at the podcast were talking about like, there's no way he doesn't get some form of suspension for this.
Yeah.
And then he gets nothing, which is a shock. Like, I drafted Mecole Hardman thinking in a couple of leagues, thinking, oh man, this guy is going to end up seeing a nice role. Now that pick is worth bupkis because he's not going to get any opportunities because he's got Sammy Watkins ahead of him on the desert. You've got Tyreek now. You've got Travis Kelce. So, like, it changed the whole landscape. And so I have Tyreek right in that Antonio Brown, OBJ area. So he's going to go in the second round. Where do you guys have him ranked?
Yeah, I mean, he's a second round guy. He's a top probably five wide receiver for me right now when it's all said and done. I will say, this has a ripple effect for me on a lot of other people. I mean, obviously, for Patrick Mahomes, you know, that certainly bumps him back up again. Mm-hmm. You mentioned Mecole Hardman, who, like, kind of falls out. And I think, Graham, this does some good things for Sammy Watkins, who we've seen in the past when Watkins was expected to be a number one wide receiver. He really struggled in that role. But last year, I felt like he thrived because he wasn't the number one target. He knew that he had Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill to take some of that pressure off of him, and now he, I think, slides back into a role where he's going to be more comfortable again.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins didn't play a ton of full games last year, but when he did, he was super productive. I think he averaged over 70 yards per game, had a career-high catch rate with Patrick Mahomes. But you mentioned Mahomes. Like, I was pretty much staying away from Mahomes in the third and fourth round in all of my best ball redraft leagues, all of that stuff this offseason. But in the Pros versus Joes competition with a bunch of sharp people, I took Mahomes in the late fourth round. I think it was at 410.
Wow.
It's a tight end premium league, best ball league with 28 rounds. So, I mean, I wanted weak winners, and Mahomes slid to 46 overall in that league, and that was after the Tyreek Hill news. I'm with you, man. I think I might be breaking some of my my late round quarterback truther, my late round quarterback truther card this year, with if Mahomes keeps sliding into the fourth and fifth round with based on the Hill news. But I have Hill at receiver six. He's right after Julio Jones, and I could see drafting him as high as receiver three over Beckham, over Thomas, over.
I mean,
Julio.
He was the top three wide receiver last season. You know, with Sammy Watkins, there's just dudes out there you don't trust. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't trust Sammy Watkins. I don't trust Allen Robinson. There's just guys I don't trust. I don't trust Jarvis Landry anymore.
But the thing now, Fabs, is they're cheap. You know,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So Watkins is now, he's a three at best in fantasy. Yeah. And so you want to have parts of that Chiefs offense because it's going to be so explosive. So now it makes sense. Like, I had put Watkins in my top 20, and I felt really bad about it when we all thought Hill was going to be out for part of the season or all of the season. Now I feel more comfortable with him as a three or maybe even a four. But he's still a guy I wouldn't trust in a prominent role.
So I'm refreshing my rankings this morning, and I have Watkins slotted at receiver 32 after Will Fuller. That's in between Marvin Jones, right before Christian Kirk, Dante Pettis. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I feel pretty comfortable.
Yeah, I've got him in that Christian Kirk area, Dante Pettis as well,
You know, I think it may be fun to do at some point before preseason starts a segment about players we just can't trust for whatever reason. You know, because there are guys out there that have burned us in the past for whatever reason, and we are just kind of gun-shy and staying away, so that would be a fun thing to do.
Yep.
News out of New England. Julian Edelman is going to miss the start of training camp because of a thumb injury. I mean, Graham, look, we know that when Edelman's on the field, he is going to absorb a whole bunch of targets. Does this change anything about how you feel about him or how you feel about anybody else in that wide receiver core right
Not
now?
Not yet. Obviously, with Edelman's age and his other injuries of the past, it's slight concern, but I mean, it's so early in the game right now, it's not that big of a deal. And frankly, I actually think it might be a good thing for him that he gets a little bit of extra rest and they get N'Keal Harry and some of their younger guys some more reps early in camp.
Yeah, I think the biggest fantasy conundrum for the Patriots right now is that backfield.
Yep.
Because Michelle, PUP, we all know that knee flares up from time to time. There's a lot of chatter. I'm seeing Damian Harris move up draft. I mean, he's not moving up significantly, but he's getting drafted a little higher than he was. You've got James White there as well, who's going to be a PPR play for you. So Edelman, to me, is still going third, fourth round.
Yeah.
No question about that.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny because the Patriots have sort of become that team that we all know they're going to win. We all know they're going to be successful. But you look around, especially with no Gronk, there are very few guys that you can draft with confidence off this roster because you just even I mean we've reached an age where even Tom Brady in a lot of drafts is still just sitting on the board
late, man. He's going late, man.
So it's just a weird situation. A couple of news notes out of Dallas. The Cowboys.
No.
Well,
don't want to hear
this. Ezekiel Elliott is still mulling his options about whether or not he's going to show up to training camp. I mean, Fabs, you can't really believe they're going to let him go without a deal, right? I mean, this is different than we talked Melvin Gordon last week, and the Chargers are sort of digging in, and I don't know how much is going to happen there. I feel like Jerry is going to figure out how to come up with some money for Zeke.
Yeah, and you know, too, like, I feel like, you know, Jerry sort of fronted the bill for some of these legal situations that Zeke has been in the past. And I feel like Zeke, even just being loyal, shouldn't go ahead and, well, I'm going to hold out now because I want to get paid. I believe the Cowboys have a fifth-year option, and then he becomes a free agent in 2021. Right. But I'm not moving Zeke down in my rankings. I will tell you this. When the news came out that there was a shot that he could potentially be holding out, Tony Pollard literally got drafted in the Scott Fishbowl, like, immediately.
Like, instantaneously.
Immediately, and I had Zeke, and I'm like, oh, no. So I ended up getting, like, Darius Jackson a little bit later on. But, you know, I've seen Pollard move up a little bit, but I think this is, you know, it's something that in the fantasy analyst industry we have to worry about. Mm-hmm. Because now trying to predict Melvin Gordon is going to be hard. Last year it was impossible, and we were all wrong about Le'Veon Bell. And now, you know, if Zeke does something drastic and decides that he's going to hold out, you know, what the heck do you do with that? Because, I mean, this is a guy who I've seen go number one overall. I mean, he is one of the elite running backs.
I'll put it on wax now. I will be shocked if he misses any games.
No, I mean, me too. I know, but, like, when you hear that, and, like, fantasy analysts and fantasy owners, we are all fraidy cats. We really are. Anything, oh my God, you know, now Tyreek Hill, he's going to get suspended. You know, eighth, ninth round, and now look at what happens, you know? I mean,
The Tyreek Hill situation's totally different, though, because the process there was right. I think we all agreed he would at least get six games, and for whatever reason, he didn't get any. The Zeke situation is different, though, because, I mean, they are so incentivized because that offense, like we talked about, it runs through Zeke.
I'd be shocked as well.
I also go back, and someone asked me about this yesterday. I go back to 93 when Emmitt Smith held out. Held out, and the Cowboys were dead set against paying him. They lose a couple games early in the season.
We lost the first two games of the year, and then Emmitt came back and went.
And suddenly Jerry was like, hey, maybe we need that number 22 guy. So they figured out how to pay him. And so I don't think Jerry wants a redo of that with Ezekiel
Elliott. I'm not concerned at this point. Like, it's different than Melvin Gordon. It really is.
It very is. I think
it's
very much
different than Melvin Gordon.
Also, other Cowboys news. The team releasing Allen Hurns. That news came out just this morning before we started recording this podcast. Hurns last year had a horrible injury, broke his leg, and all signs pointed to him missing probably all of this season, or at least the majority of this season. The Cowboys in the offseason went and got Randall Cobb, so it certainly looks like Hurns obviously is done with the Cowboys. We'll see whether or not some team decides to take a chance on him somewhere down the road. But, Fabs, I think this just means good things better things for Michael Gallup coming this year.
Yeah, and first off, Allen, man, love you, dude, and wish you nothing but the best. Allen is a really good guy.
Awesome guy.
A really good guy, and I wish him nothing but the best, and I hope he ends up back on an NFL roster and gets back out on the gridiron as soon as possible.
I love when undrafted free agents come out and immediately make names for themselves, and it's really cool. I mean, so, Hurns is immediate. He immediately made an impact.
Right? Do you remember, like, Allen Hurns was like, and I always go back to, like, the Frisman Jackson, because Frisman Jackson opened a season,
man,
went nuts,
that's
and people went out and, like, picked him up, and they didn't do anything the rest of the season. Yeah. But Allen Hurns, the first game was against, I believe it was against the Philadelphia Eagles, and I think
might
he had
right about that.
Two touchdowns. Mm-hmm. And everyone was running to the waiver wire to grab Allen Hurns, but we wish you the best. The Cowboys offense, I mean, listen, Gallup is a late-round flyer, a worthwhile guy. Like, I have him right around, like, you know, the Deshaun Hamilton sort of area in my rankings, where these are guys that you take chances on late because there's potentially an opportunity for them to see an increase in targets. And Randall Cobb, though, I don't see him being drafted in most leagues.
No.
People are soured on the fact that he hasn't been durable and that the Cowboys have a lot of mouths to feed in the offense. Talking about Amari Cooper, Jason Witten's back from the broadcast booth. We mentioned Gallup. Zeke had 77 catches last season. Mm-hmm. So there's other options there, too. So Cobb, he's not on the draft board right now. I'm seeing, you know, rookies being picked way ahead of him, like, you know, Andy Isabella, for example.
Right.
DK Metcalf. People are not really focusing on Randall Cobb, even as a late-round flyer.
Yeah, no, I think part of it also is just, we talk about people we can't trust anymore. I think some of it is having seen Randall Cobb those last couple years in Green Bay and just not knowing how he's going to fit into this offense. Mm-hmm. Last bit of news, the Bills general manager says he is confident that LeSean McCoy can, quote, still play. Graham, is this are they just setting us up to try and trade LeSean McCoy? Like, can we really buy into this, or is this like trying to gas a guy up so maybe some team will offer something in a trade?
Look, I mean, the Bills can still get out from underneath McCoy's contract and save a lot of money against the cap this year. He's obviously entering the final year of his deal. He's 31 years old. Mm-hmm. His snap rate was cut last year from around 70% to around 50%. That's even with Chris Ivory's own ineffectiveness. And then obviously all their moves this offseason. I think right now Devin Singletary is really the only Bills back I'm moderately interested in, but even then it's...
So I'm going to give you a hypothetical, you guys tell me. I think that if McCoy gets traded to the Bucks, that would be a great fit because I don't...
Yeah.
Ronald Jones and Peyton Barber,
I would love that.
If McCoy goes to Tampa Bay, where do you draft him? What round?
I think...
That's a best case scenario.
Best case scenario, I don't know, what, four? Four, five?
5-6 for me, or probably around that Tevin Coleman range.
But you're starting to feel good about him again.
Yeah.
Right now, it's a mess.
Right now, at least
he would have the opportunity and a ton, I mean, just a great offensive ecosystem for him to get 8 touchdowns. But that is an awesome hypothetical.
So in a fantasy scenario, LeSean McCoy going to Tampa Bay would be pretty good.
I think it'd be good. Yeah. It'd be a great fit.
And then that would open up the door for Singletary to come in and play a bigger role.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That would be great.
I mean, look, last year...
We can cross our fingers.
Last year, the Bills' best running back was a rookie quarterback, so that tells you a little bit about their running situation.
This is true.
So there you go. That's pretty much everything you need to know.
That was the news.
Guys are terrible at taking care of their health. Whether it's a knee injury, bad back, or something worse, guys are usually more comfortable just rubbing some dirt on it than seeing a doctor, which explains why I have a couple of weak Achilles tendons because, you know, I just put some ice on it and just let it go. Anyway, the same is true for erectile dysfunction. Studies show 70% of guys who experience ED don't get treated for it. Thankfully, Roman created an easy way to chat with a doctor online. With Roman, you can get medical care for ED from the comfort of your home and handle everything online in a convenient, discreet manner. Just go to GetRoman.com/live and complete an online visit. If your doctor decides the treatment would be appropriate, they'll prescribe genuine medication that can be delivered in discreet packaging right to your door with free 2-day shipping. Erectile dysfunction can be tough to tackle, but it's really important to get checked out. And with Roman, it's easy. Just go to Roman.com/live to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/live for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/live. All right. It is fantasy draft season. I mean, it's been fantasy draft season in some areas for a while now, but I think a lot more folks are starting to get on board and starting to check in. So I feel like that's a good time to talk some draft strategies and sort of help out. We've got some stuff up on the website, NFL.com/fantasy, that will help you out quite a bit. Fabs, you just recently finished your draft tiers, quarterback, tight end, running back, and receiver. In fact, by the time most of you get to listen to this podcast, the wide receiver portion will be up and available. And, I mean, one, I know this is a thing you do every year. You sort of break these guys down into different tiers. Mm-hmm. I love looking at the quarterbacks. Tier one, it's one guy this year. It's just one guy.
Rolling with Mahomes, man. And I don't see another quarterback being close to him because even in the drafts that we've done, you know, Grammy talked about Mahomes' fourth round. That's probably as late as he's going to go.
Yep.
Even in industry leagues where we all, like, hate drafting quarterbacks early. But then you're not seeing the next quarterback come off the board. I think the earliest I saw another quarterback go off the board was maybe – 6th, 7th in a 12-team league, and that was, you know, Andrew Luck, Deshaun Watson, Rodgers. So Mahomes is in a class by himself, and he's coming off the greatest season of any fantasy football quarterback ever. So regression might be coming, but even if he regresses, he's still going to be pretty damn good. So he's got his own tier.
Yeah. I still have Watson and Luck right in that tier, right in that first tier too, but with now obviously the tinge that Tyreek Hill's back.
Yes, sir.
I just love Deshaun Watson and Luck this year. I still think
I do too.
They both have 40-plus touchdown upside. Watson obviously has so much rushing upside and scrambling upside behind that Texans offensive line. I still think that they're similarly tiered players, but just knowing that Mahomes has I mean, he's Patrick Mahomes. He has week winning upside.
I know. Right.
It's literally week winning upside.
Yeah, and that second tier, I have Watson, Luck, and I mean, you could really put it like 1A too.
Yeah.
And Rodgers. And I know some people are down on Rodgers. I don't know if I'm just nostalgic. I love Aaron Rodgers.
I have him at QB4 still.
Yeah, he's won me championships. And keep in mind too, all those young wide receivers have now had a full season under their belt catching the ball from him. They're going to see bigger roles. And I still think he's one of the, you know, the top three or four quarterbacks in fantasy football.
I also think there's definitely optimism now that it's Matt LaFleur running that offense instead of Mike McCarthy. Yep. That was one of the big storylines last year. Yep. And so now the hope is maybe this opens some things up and helps Rodgers kind of thrive a little bit. Mm-hmm. One thing I noticed that, you know, and I don't think you're wrong. I just think it's a sign of the times. Drew Brees is down in tier 4.
Man, that's a new world. I had to do it. I don't know what it is. I got some kind of sickness with Kyler Murray. I keep moving him up. I can't stop. Like, every time I redo my rankings, I'm like, oh, all right. I'm taking him ahead of Breeze.
Wow.
I'm taking him ahead of Wentz. I don't care. I love this kid. If I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong when we come to the end of the season. I just love him. I feel like Breeze, a 40-year-old guy who's not going to throw the ball 600 times, 700 times. This is a quarterback who now they've got to scale back, I think, a little bit, right? You know, you bring in Latavius, you've got Alvin Kamara, Jared Cook comes into the mix as well. This is not going to be the same explosive guy. And remember, like Drew Brees in the second half of last season, you put him on the road, on grass, I don't care if it's a weird trend, it's a trend. He doesn't put up the numbers.
So he's the new Ben Roethlisberger is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, Roethlisberger became non-Roethlisberger last season because he started to play well on the road. But like, I just, 40-year-old quarterback who's going to the Hall of Fame, compared to a guy who's coming into the league in an offense that's going to just, they're gonna have more plays than anybody in the league, you would think. That's what Cliff Kingsbury wants. And he can run with the football. I just love it, and I'm all in.
Being off Drew Brees is a sharp take this year. The Saints, I think, they're top six in run rate over the past 2 years, but they're creeping up to Dallas, basically Dallas-level territories in terms of their run-oriented offense. Being off Brees is definitely a sharp take this year,
especially
because it's such a loaded quarterback year.
I know. Listen, I've come out of a mock draft. So one of the last ones I did, my quarterbacks were Goff and Lamar Jackson. I'm totally fine with it. And I mean, Goff wasn't a guy I drafted until the 9th or 10th round. I'm totally cool with it. I have no problem. I love Lamar Jackson as well, running with the football. Maybe the next Mike Vick. I'm happy with it. I wouldn't mind going into a league. Now, I'm not saying it's a 10-team league or maybe even a 12-team league. If I'm going into a league and my two quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I would feel confident in it, man. I really would.
Wow.
Because I waited so long, the rest of my roster is jacked.
I don't disagree either.
I mean, people forget how good Josh Allen was in the second half of last season.
Yeah. I mean, look, I definitely know he took everybody by surprise. I'm still waiting for him to become a passer because I'm skeptical that he's going to be able to run the football again like he did last year. Mm-hmm. And I admittedly am a skeptic. I'm the guy who, like, hey, if I miss out on a guy, then, like, so be it, rather than, you know, I'll let it be somebody else's headache. So, it's definitely possible. I think I'm just a little too scared to pull the trigger.
But, like, in a 14-team league, I'll take those two quarterbacks. I'll be fine with it because the rest of my roster is going to be loaded.
I'll say it's really hard to go all in on somebody this year because I love Cam. I love Wentz. I like Baker a little bit,
I'm getting
too, but
Cam
he's too
a lot
expensive.
Too.
The Ravens have the easiest, or one of the two easiest schedules in terms of strength of schedule against run defenses per Warren Sharp this year.
Yep.
Lamar Jackson, Mark Ingram, all those guys they're facing an extremely, extremely soft running schedule. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to getting Lamar as my QB1 either late in leagues. Just because
I'm talking about bigger
so
leagues.
High.
I'm not talking about 10 or 12.
I would take him as my QB1 in 12 team leagues. 10 team leagues, 10 team leagues is probably a little too shallow, but 12 is fine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. One of the things, your running back tiers, no shock at tier 1, Saquon, Zeke, Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara. Tier 2, Lev Bell, David Johnson right behind Le'Veon Bell. And I feel like that's a name that is starting to rise. Like, I think people were sort of slow to get on the David Johnson train, but I feel like that thing has started to roll now.
Yeah, with Le'Veon, he didn't play last season. So if nothing else, he's going to be fresh, right? He's going to see volume, a ton of it in that offense. And I just believe that he is well worth it. I have him fifth overall at running back. I moved him because I had to move Gordon down. With this holdout situation. And the opportunities are going to be there. You know, I almost compare him to his teammate, Antonio Brown, right? He's going to a lesser offense. You know, Brown's going to a quarterback who's very good, but not nearly as good as Ben Roethlisberger. Le'Veon Bell going from Steelers and that offensive line to the Jets, their offensive line, a young quarterback in Sam Darnold. But what do we always say, Marcus? Volume is king in fantasy football, and Le'Veon Bell is going to see a lot of volume.
Tier four is a name that I have become really big on is Marlon Mack.
Everybody's moving him up, dude.
A guy that I love. And part of it for me is that I have gone all in on Andrew Luck as QB1 this year, and I love that offense. And I think Marlon Mack is going to be a guy who sort of profits from that. I mean, he's a decent enough pass catcher. We saw him last year run the ball effectively. Remember at the start of last year, Jim Irsay is making these giant pronouncements about how Marlon Mack's going to have this huge year, and we were all kind of like, yeah, all right. And then at some point in the year, it kind of clicked like,
it wasn't bad.
Yeah, this guy's not bad. The one thing I would like to see is more consistency out of him. You know, he would give you some huge weeks, then he'd follow it up with like 35 yards. So if we can sort of even that out a little bit, that would be better. But I have started to kind of get really big on Marlon Mack in the last few weeks.
My only concern with Mack is when the Colts were behind last year, he was typically plucked from the field in favor of Naheem Hines this year.
Yeah.
But I think we're all expecting the Colts to be one of the best teams in the NFL. And if they do win 10-plus games, which I'm kind of expecting, Mack is going to smash this
year. Offensive line is good. I mean, durability, you know, might be a little bit of a concern.
Right.
But, you know, all things being equal, like, he's an RB2 right now in fantasy, and there's no question about that.
So go check out Fabs' draft tiers. You can find it at NFL.com/Fabiano. And, you know, they're all up there, quarterback, running back, receiver, tight end. Go check those out. Speaking of tight end, Graham, you recently wrote a piece on kind of approaching the tight end position in drafts. And, you know, you mentioned it's a thing we've talked about on this podcast multiple times, but the fact that the position should be deeper this year. You know, we know the big three at the top with Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle. But, you know, Hunter Henry is back from injury. We'll see what Delanie Walker is going to do. O.J. Howard's expected to do big things. This is a position that suddenly, you know, if you don't get one of the big three, you don't necessarily have to panic the rest of the draft.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I'm really, really high on O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, Hunter Henry, that entire tier that kind of goes in the fifth, sixth round of drafts this year. I kind of pretty much wrote a whole thesis about why I'm fading Ertz and Kittle and pretty much just attacking that whole breakout tier in the fifth or sixth round. But you mentioned this year there's some really interesting late round tight ends from veterans to, you know, kind of maybe second year breakout candidates like Mark Andrews to Jordan Reed, Greg Olsen, some of the veterans that we were typically drafting earlier have really started to slip in drafts. I think tight end is going to bounce back in a big way this year, especially after writing that draft guide. I will say there's only maybe seven or eight tight ends that you can really feel comfortable about, like starting every single week coming into this year. But I think that there's a definite chance that will change very, very quickly based on all of the talent and just how cheap some of the late round guys are this year.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, is that you can get some guys with good value later on in your draft.
Trey Burton was a 7th, 8th round pick last year, guys. I mean, he's free, essentially, 12th, 13th, 14th round.
I mean, so I've been finding myself getting Jared Cook a lot in drafts, which I'm fine with, you know, in New Orleans. But I've never really been that guy who's going to spend a second round pick on Kelce, even though he's well worth it. I don't know, man. Just call me old fashioned. I just can't do it. No. But I find myself going after the Mark Andrews of the world late. I'll get a tight end, maybe like a David Njoku, maybe like a Jack Doyle.
And Njoku's then a guy I've looked at a lot.
Right, and then I'll pair him with a player that I think has some upside, like an Andrews. Vance McDonald is another player who's certainly moving up. I've seen him ranked in the top 10 among tight ends among some of our friends in the industry. So there's a lot of talent there, but yeah, you guys are right. There are very few sure things at tight end this season.
Quick question, because like I've seen his name sort of hyped, and you know we all know that preseason hype has to be taken with just an entire shaker of salt. how are we feeling about Austin Hooper? Because I've seen some buzz around his name, and you know that maybe this is finally the year for Austin Hooper. I mean, last year was a career year, and I put air quotes around that, 660 yards, 4 touchdowns, 71 catches.
It's kind of
It's kind of right? But is that who he is, or is there an expectation that maybe he does more?
I'm completely off Hooper this year. I mean, 40%. I wrote about this in my draft guide. 40% of his 77 receptions came in just three games against the Steelers, Bucks, and Browns. He had 9, 9, and 10 receptions in those games, which is just ridiculous.
Yep.
He only saw 14% of the team's targets over the whole season, and that's with basically Devonta Freeman missing the entire year and Calvin Ridley being a rookie. Now Freeman's back. Ridley's got another year of experience under his belt. I mean, I can't. I just think there's guys going later than him, like Delanie Walker, Jordan Reed, even Jack
and
Doyle.
And Delanie didn't even get put on the PUP, so that's a good thing. Right. But yeah, Hooper's on that list of dudes I don't trust.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of felt that way too. I just didn't know if I was missing out on something because this hype was starting to build. So that makes me feel better.
You're not missing out on anything.
Sounds good. one question we got that I got at least on Twitter. Actually, we all did because you guys were all tagged in this tweet
from Hong Kong. How dare you leave us out?
From Hong Kong Hawk, wanting to know our thoughts on stacking wide receivers and running backs. He was saying this because he says he's expecting to take Zeke with his first pick in his draft, and then wondering whether he should sort of back that up a couple of rounds later with Amari Cooper, the thought being it would ensure that I'd rarely be pissed at the end of a Dallas drive, you know, thinking that either it's Zeke scoring or it's Cooper that's scoring. I mean, obviously you can't do this with every team, but just your guys' thoughts on maybe pairing up a top line running back with a number one receiver from a team.
Yeah, Bengals, please. Joe Mixon, AJ Green, and it's not that expensive. I mean, you can take Joe Mixon in the late second, in the early second of your draft if you have a pick of the turn. Come back around and get AJ Green in the late third. Cooper to Zeke is interesting, but I'm less interested in Cooper when he goes like he's going to go pretty early in drafts. But like if he's going over like Keenan Allen and Julian Edelman, some of those guys. It's less of an interest to me, and obviously the Bucks I think are probably a top stack option this year.
I mean,
but
I don't mind getting multiple players from offenses that we expect to be explosive. I know a lot of people on the Cardinals, you know, so like Kyler and David Johnson and Larry Fitzgerald starting to move up as well. I have no problem with that. I did a mock draft with Jamie Eisenberg with the CBS folks, and I ended up, I believe, with Goff, Gurley, and Robert Woods. I have no problem with that. Now, do I want several players from some of these lesser offenses? No, be smart about it. But points is points, man. And so if you get guys and shares of players from really good offensive attacks, I mean, go for it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's very doable, especially in a lot of situations where you're looking at, say, Julio Jones, Devontae Freeman. You mentioned the Bucks, Graham. I mean, it's possible to get a James Conner and Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, those are very doable. And I think, Fabs, your point is right, where it's better to do it from, I know it sounds simple, but taking players from good offenses is generally a way to have fantasy success.
Exactly.
I know sometimes you get stuck in that mindset of looking at a bad offense and thinking, hey, somebody's got to catch the ball or somebody's got to run the ball. Not necessarily.
Yeah. Look at the Ravens. I'm barely seeing Marquise Brown getting drafted. I'm not seeing any pass catchers except for Mark Andrew being drafted out of that offense just because what we saw last season and Lamar, averaging 17 carries a game, it was just ridiculous.
You know, it's a really fun, cheap team stack to do in fantasy this year is the Niners. You can get Garoppolo extremely cheap. You can get Pettis extremely cheap. Coleman, all their backs are cheap. So if you're all in on the Niners this year, which I'm pretty close to being.
Kittle's the only one that's really going to cost you anything in a draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Coleman's probably not coming off the board until 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Depending on the size of the league.
And I'm starting to feel more confident with him just because of this talk that the Niners aren't going to dress three of their running backs on game day.
Well, Jerick McKinnon's still battling coming back from that ACL injury. Yep. Matt Breida's obviously he dealt with literally a laundry list of injuries in 2018. Yes. So, Tevin Coleman's, I think, in a sneaky good spot, too.
So there you go. That's our thoughts on it. So basically the consensus is, it's not a bad idea if you're getting the right players. Mm-hmm. The old draft good players theory coming into effect here.
Pretty easy.
Great advice from us.
I know, right? That's why they pay us the medium-sized bucks. before we get out of here, another tweet that I got, this is from Schultz in NS26, asking if we were going to talk about Jacoby Brissett, because he sort of was...
I got to look these up, dude.
He was making Twitter news from Noah Schultz. Are you going to talk about the gold mine that is Jacoby Brissett's Twitter on the next NFL Fantasy Live episode? He has become... So... Graham, I don't know if you're old enough to remember Jack Handy on Saturday Night Live. So
I'm sorry.
He was a writer. He was a staff writer on SNL. And you never actually saw him appear on screen, but he would do this segment called Deep Thoughts with Jack Handy, was basically him voicing over like with like serene music and just like a scroll with this text. And he would just have these random deep thoughts, like, you know, stuff like, you know, if you're ever walking around and you don't want people to ask you to do things, carry two sacks in your hand. So when people ask you to do something, you say, sorry, I got these sacks. I mean, just like, just random nonsensical thoughts like that. And so reading Jacoby Brissett's tweets has sort of made me think he's like a new millennium Jack Handy, right? The one that really got attention last week or a couple weeks ago, if the sun is hot, how is outer space cold, right? This was the one that like took off on Twitter to the point that I believe he actually got a response from someone at NASA to explain the physics of sun and outer space.
Outer space is kind of big.
It's huge.
I mean, it's kind of big.
Do you think Brissett, and since Luck is a genius from Stanford, do you think that they discuss this in quarterback rooms? Like,
I would have to
imagine they probably have some pretty zany thoughts in those rooms.
I would think
right?
so, especially because like some of the smartest people I know have some of the strangest thoughts and just some of the weirdest. Like another one, man who coined the saying "a dog's mouth is cleaner than a human's." How'd they come up with this information?
Yeah, that's a good question.
You can test for bacteria, I feel like.
I mean, I guess.
Still. I mean, my dog is oftentimes eating
but
grass.
Dogs eat poop.
Licking his keister.
Dogs eat
you know?
Poop. Like, I
sniffing other dogs' keisters.
If a dog's mouth is cleaner than mine, like, I'm doing something really wrong.
Yeah.
Lightning never strikes twice in the same place. How does lightning know where it has struck? Who created the phrase? I mean, these are great. If you drink water out of a cup, do you still have to wash the cup? Asking for a friend.
My favorite one so far, though, has been which part of the pigskin is actually a football?
It's actually a football. So, Jacoby Brissett, man, he's become a Twitter superstar in the last week or so, which, you know, I guess when you're not going to get on the field a whole lot, you got to do something to distinguish yourself.
You know who's been really good? Rex Chapman.
The blocker charge has become a staple on Twitter. Yeah. I know our own Steve Weish is big on responding and retweeting those.
Those are pretty good.
Blocker charge has become definitely a meme epidemic.
And some of them
phenomenon.
Are like,
some of them are incredible.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah, some of them are like our Darwinism level you know, collisions.
Unreal.
So
yeah.
So that's it. Keep an eye out because very soon we'll be going to two podcasts a week as we get closer to the start of preseason games and obviously the regular season. We're going to start ramping up. So very soon we'll be two pods a week. So get ready for that
Here.
It is here. In the meantime, that's it. We are done. We appreciate you listening. As always, you know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, stand outside more often. So if people can ask, you just say you're outstanding. We'll see you next week.